Come, Holy Spirit, take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I heard about a guy who was taking an exam to become a policeman, and one of the questions on the exam was this: if you had to arrest your mother, what would you do? And he thought for a moment, and then he wrote down this answer: I would call for backup. I want you to think about the hardest thing that you ever had to do in your life. Now, for some of you, that might come immediately to your mind. Others, you may have to think for a while, and still others, you may not be able to remember the hardest thing that you've ever had to do. But I suspect that it may not have been as hard as what God asked Abraham to do. Abraham was a man of the promise of God. He was singularly chosen by God. And God said to him, from your offspring will come a great nation. And so Abraham, even in his old age, had tried to manipulate the plan of God by having a child through his wife Sarah's maid, Hagar. And yet even after that, his wife Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to their son Isaac. And yet after all of this, Abraham had no idea of the torment and the self-doubt that awaited him. We see in the story of Abraham today that because of his great faith, he was counted as righteous. And in that great faith of Abraham, or maybe because of it, God tested him. God asked him to sacrifice his son. Now, in Old Testament times, many of the pagan religions required that families sacrifice a child to the sun god or some other supposed deity. But the God of Abraham never asked anyone to sacrifice a child for him. So why now is God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son? Why is God asking him to do this awful thing? After all, God miraculously provided this son for him. So why is God requiring him to sacrifice his son? Although technically Isaac was not the firstborn son of Abraham. Excuse me. Certainly Isaac was considered the firstborn son because he was born to Sarah. And as Isaac being the firstborn son, he was heir to the promise of God. He was heir to the fortunes of Abraham. So why now was God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? Certainly, Abraham, being a man of faith, recognized the voice of God. And while he didn't understand why God was asking him to do that, he knew that God must have some reason. And so he complied. Turn, if you will, to our first lesson today from Genesis chapter 22 on page 31 of the Pew Bibles. And obviously we just heard that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, if you would sacrifice your only son for me. Abraham said that he would. And so early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he got to the place that God had told him about. He set out for that place. And on the third day, he looked up and saw the place at the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went together, and when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Abraham was ready to plunge the knife into his son when an angel spoke from heaven. Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son from me, your only son." Abraham looked up in the thicket, and there was a ram, and so he took the ram and ultimately sacrificed the ram instead of his son. Can you imagine the pain and the anguish that Abraham must have gone through as he faced this dilemma from God? Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through his mind as he was thinking about having to sacrifice his own son? Can you imagine the heaviness on his heart as he was being asked by God to sacrifice his own son? Now we kind of wonder, what might this mean for us? What does this have to do with us? And certainly, as we look at this, there is really no coincidence. It's not insignificant that this story appears in the book of Genesis, because Genesis really is the foundation for the rest of the Bible. Much of the Bible doesn't make sense without the book of Genesis. In Genesis, we see many of the foundational teachings of Jesus and the Christian faith reflected in there. For example, we see the eternality of God reflected in Genesis. We see the creation of the world reflected in Genesis. We see the idea of good and evil. We see the idea of wearing clothes. We see the idea of marriage being expounded in Genesis. And beyond that, we see even more the impact of sin. We see sin really coming to the forefront at the first with the story of Adam and Eve, and of them rebelling against God when God said, "You can have anything in the garden except the fruit of this one tree." And of course, they rebelled against God and chose to do something contrary to what he wanted them to do. And both as a result of that, sin entered into the world and became kind of like a genetic defect for all human beings. And as that sin entered into the world, along with that came spiritual and physical death, as well as it affecting the reality of creation. Human beings would no longer enjoy the close, intimate relationship that they were designed to have with God. And they were separated from God, from the holy God, because of their sin. This brings us to Abraham and Isaac. In the story of these two, God is showing his plan to redeem humans to that original relationship with him. Isaac is a type of Christ. Isaac represents Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. We say in our Eucharistic service, Christ our Passover lamb, if you will, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And so, just as Isaac was Abraham's only son and firstborn, so Jesus is called God's only son and firstborn. He is the heir of the promise of God. And so Jesus was not only symbolized in Isaac, but Isaac was also a symbol of God's deliverance. Just as Isaac trudged up the hill with the wood of his sacrifice on his shoulder, so Christ went toward the hill of his sacrifice with the wood of his death on his shoulders as well. This is the first time that the word love appears in the Bible related to a parent and a child. In verse 2, God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah." Isn't it significant that the word love first appears in the context of sacrifice? John the Apostle writes this in his Gospel. He says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he sacrificed his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just as God provided a sacrifice for Abraham, God has provided a sacrifice for our sins as well. It's Jesus, his beloved Son, who is the sacrifice. Even though it must have grieved him to give up his Son to be crucified on the cross, even though it must have hurt him tremendously to see how men treated Jesus by beating him and torturing him almost to death, God was willing to endure that pain in order to show his great love for humanity. Jesus said this one time, "Greater love has no one than this, than that they lay down their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." We don't necessarily have to physically lay down our lives for someone in order to show Christ's love to them. But whenever we do show Christ's love, there is a sacrifice that is involved. There was an African-American storefront church that was just starting up, and the pastor was trying to get people from his neighborhood to come to the church, and so he enlisted his young son to go around the neighborhood and hand out flyers for the church. And so when he handed his son the flyers, his son came home at 3 p.m. He's going to deliver them from 3 to 7 p.m. And so he told his son, I want you to deliver these all over the neighborhood, but don't go over into the white neighborhood over there, because they won't come. And so his son began to distribute the flyers throughout the neighborhood. And when he reached the last house, he found that after that he had one flyer left. And so he looked across the street over into the white neighborhood, and he decided that he saw a light on in the house there, and he was going to go over there and give this last flyer out to the person in that house. And so he went over and he climbed up the steps and he knocked on the door, and there was no answer. Well, then he knocked again. Still no answer. He knocked even harder a third time. And as he turned to leave, the door opened, and there, appearing in front of him, was a tall woman with silver hair. And as he looked up, he saw that there was a light behind her that was shining on her silver hair and made it appear like she had a halo. And he said to her, "Ma'am, my dad is starting a church down the street, and we just wanted to invite you to come. And I just want to let you know that I love you." And he turned to leave. And then he turned around and he said, "Ma'am, I really do love you. And God loves you as well." So he turned and he went back to his house. And the next day, the next night, the church was having a service. And the people were standing, they were singing, they were praising God. Many of them had their hands raised in the air. Some of them were clapping. They were all just singing and praising the Lord. And the pastor was so caught up in the praise that he turned his back to the congregation. He was facing the cross and he was praising the Lord and singing at the top of his voice. Nobody noticed when this lady came in the back door of the church. And as she walked down the center aisle, past each of the rows of chairs, people stopped singing. When she got up to the front, everybody had stopped singing except for the pastor. And he realized that he was the only one singing, so he turned around and he saw this woman standing there. And he said, "May I help you, ma'am?" And she said, "May I address the congregation?" And he said, "Well, sure, go ahead." So she turned around and she said that yesterday I was feeling very low. And last night I had reached the end of my rope. My husband had died 20 years ago, and I'd been so lonely since that time, and I just wanted to end it all. I was standing on a stool, fashioning a noose around my neck, ready to hang myself, when I heard this knock at the door. Well, I was real quiet. I thought maybe that whoever it was would go away, but that person knocked again. Then they knocked again. And so I got down and I went downstairs, and there was this boy standing right there. And he told me that he loved me and that God loved me. And no one had ever said that to me in 20 years. And so I just want to tell you that because that boy was willing to come and knock on my door and say this to me, that he saved my life. That man went on to be the one-time Secretary of the Navy, James E. Johnson. He made an impact on that woman because he was willing to take a risk and do something that was out of perhaps his comfort zone. Do something to share the love of God with others. And that's what God did to us. He came down into the neighborhood of our sin, and he knocks on the door of our hearts. And if we open the door of our hearts to him, he comes in to live inside of us, to forgive us of our sins, and to give us a new life. Well, there may just be one person here who has never committed themselves to Christ. And maybe you today realize that I need to get right with God. I need to come to him and submit my life to him and have him be the ruler of my life. And if that's the case, simply turn away from everything that you know is wrong and invite Christ to come into your life. And he promises to do that and to give you a new start, a new life. And most of us have already made that decision. But I want to assure you that God may be leading you this coming week to someone with whom he wants you to share his love. And you may be the one who ultimately has something to say to a person that can make the difference in life, between life and death. You may be that person who ultimately says that one thing that causes a person to have hope again. You may be the person that says that one thing that helps them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Be aware that God may be leading someone to you, or you to someone, this week, with whom you might be able to share His love and to remind them that Jesus died for them in order for them to have new life. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You have not left us in our sins, but You have sent Your Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. And as He died on the cross for us, You made it possible for us to have a relationship with You. Lord, I pray for anyone here that might need to make that commitment to You. Would You give them the grace to do that today? Lord, for the rest of us, would You fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might be ready to share Your love with even the person that we may think doesn't need to hear that, or the person we may think already has it all together. Perhaps that may be the one that needs to hear that You love them and that nothing can separate them from Your love. Lord, would You help us to not only remember that for ourselves, but to carry that message out into a world that is hurting and lost. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.